All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and we're here to tell you that in honor of Kobe Bean Bryant and his five NBA titles, our Way Back Wednesday theme is songs from the years in which Kobe's Lakers won the title, 2002, 2009, and 2010.
And it was a great idea. I wish we could give credit to who sent it, but it was a text with no name. So whoever did, thank you. I really think this was a good idea for our Way Back Wednesday.
Indeed. So Nick's here. That's Barry and myself, Joel. We'll take you for the next 3 hours. Appreciate you guys being suspects and participating within the course of the show. As we always seem to get spirited dialogue, fun games and sports all in
and a few idiots.
Some percentage or another, yeah. Right? And we are coming to you live from the Gal Media Studios. We are not sitting curbside in Miami hoping to get some somewhat popular or familiar sports figure or entertainment person to talk about the butt cream they're endorsing.
I don't miss it. I tweeted it out as such. I don't miss Radio Row. I don't think the fans miss it. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that Radio Row radio is all that good. I'd be interested to see what our listeners and what the suspects think, but I just don't feel like it's great radio.
I will say this, and I think that one of the points you made was spot on, which is you got to do it once to experience it. And obviously, with all my work being in the NBA, it was cool to do it the first time. I miss it because I give us credit for being good interviewers in terms of not sticking to just what the same old question. Because most of these guys, when they look disinterested, they are. Because they get the same question at 43 different radio stations.
Sure.
The cool thing with us was we mixed it up to talk about other things. We got them off their beaten path to talk about other things that the listeners might be interested in once we got their endorsement out of the way. But I get the endorsement was a pain in the ass, but I did enjoy the fact that we kind of pushed the envelope a little bit, got people to talk about things other than...
Well, you like hobnobbing with celebrities anyways.
I don't know why you have to say
that. That's kind of in your DNA.
Why?
No, it's not a bad thing. I mean, you with the Rockets forever, and you know, you like hobnobbing with celebrities.
I don't know that I like hobnobbing with celebrities. I don't have a problem interviewing them.
Like, it was cool, but that's for me when everything changed as far as this job and celebrity. Because then it was just like... Ugh. You know, like we would meet guys before Radio Row, and it would be kind of cool to meet a famous athlete or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that happened, and then it was just like, all right, this is just a job. And then you realize that most of them don't want to be there. Most of them would rather be somewhere else.
I'm not enamored by the celebrity. I was more challenged by the opportunity to interview these guys and get them. Like Nick was all fired up about Fitz and the tantrums.
Yep.
And we found out that the girl from Fitz and the Tantrums was a Packer fan, and we found out things about, you know, where they, you know, just where they grew up, things like that. And so I think those were fun. I think a lot of and thinking back, we had good conversations with a lot of NFL guys and otherwise where they kind of engaged in stuff other than, you know, football or whatever the case may be. But I mean, I get what you're saying. There's a lot of people like Jake Asman and Cody Stutes are there. Mm-hmm. And good for them. But I'm not going to be the tweeting every picture of every guy and thinking and then saying something about them being the best at this or that in their lifetime. That's not who I am. But I did find it challenging to interview all these different people. And you know as well as I do, we were covering like sports of the day and everything. And all of a sudden they'd go, "You get so and so in 5 minutes."
That was the part I also didn't like. Is it was like, "Oh, cool, we're getting."
We had Carson Wentz. We had some good names.
You get some good names, but then you just get a bunch of random-ass names.
Roger Saffold, the offensive lineman for the Rams at the time, now for the Titans.
Yeah, well, they would be like, oh, here's Wally Pipp. And you're like, oh, crap, I got to look up a bunch of stuff about
Rudy from the movie Rudy.
Yeah, and you're like, I got to go to Wiki And knowing that every other person in this business that's on Radio Row is using Wikipedia to formulate all their questions, and it just becomes so sterile and mundane. And I don't know. I mean, again, I would be interested to see what the listeners think about interviews and Radio Row shows.
Because obviously there's opportunities in Houston to listen to the radio this week and get live from Radio Row coverage. And,
yeah.
And I would be interested and intrigued as well as to, do you look for that, listen to that? Are there people you want to hear from? Or is that been there, done that, and I don't have any interest in that? Because you're right. I mean, there's a lot of bad with the good. Plus, at the time that we were doing it, we had a guy working for the national side that tried to take the ACL out of one player, tried to absolutely get his head taken off by a Hall of Famer, because he just found ways to get under the skin of everybody, so it wasn't helping us to get guests in the first place. But, you know, I like you said, I think to experience it once is something
that was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool, especially being here in Houston.
Yeah, yeah, and that was real cool. Couple suspects already checking in. Christian said Radio Row is boring. Okay. And Lil Uzi Vert, Steven Uzi, from weathermap.com, which doesn't exist, said you can do Radio Row from here. Just bring in marginal personalities and guests and act like you care about what they have to say. And then El Jefe, Mr. Josh Like a Boss, said Radio Row is the worst. I'm glad y'all aren't there.
Cool.
And then Chan tweeted and said, I feel bad for all the celebrities that have to shake Cody's hand.
It's fantastic.
So good. Well done, yes. Early on, suspects. But I figured that would be the response from most of the listeners. I'm sure there are some that are like, oh, man, it's awesome to hear from, I don't know.
Like, I think Steven Uzek would get a pudgy if we had Al Roker.
Oh, you know.
Right?
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know the Today Show will have reps down there.
Yeah, he would. But, you know, you're hearing from former athletes, and you do get some celebrities, but I don't know. It just seems so.
I think if you look
contrived
back at the pictures we got a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame.
I don't want to look at those pictures.
We got a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame. We got some decent current players. But the other thing that I don't like is there's infighting all the time about if they're coming your way. You got, you know, everybody fighting for, no, I want them on this, you know, I want them on this show. I want them on that show. No, you know what? If they're coming on ESPN 97.5 or SB Nation Radio, just get them on. And if you need the sound, you can get it later.
You know what job I would like is the job that Nick had on Radio Row. That would be the fun part. Because
it was
nonstop. It was a lot of hustle, but you didn't have to linger. And then when you got a guest, you didn't have to act like you were interested in them.
Oh, yeah. I guess because you do make a good point about the interviewing process and making sure you don't ask the redundant questions.
Right. And then you pull up a wiki page and you know that they're hearing that. And I mean, it's just like. And
they are kind of nicer to the runner because they know I'm not the guy that's going to be asking the question.
You're not the jerk that's going to be like, so, Maurice Jones-Drew, how'd you get the nickname? What are you promoting? Like, wow.
Another French guy.
Boring. Is that what it started, morphing into?
Now, Nick, were you a runner or a fluffer?
Oh, stop. Boy. But in terms of running, the only thing that I did not like about the Super Bowl Radio Row thing was the fact that we couldn't get Will Pelagic to race Joel.
I'd have killed him.
You would have destroyed him.
And this is what I was talking about. So Will Pelagic in one, he's now working somewhere else. Congrats to him. But when he was doing this job, supposedly, for us to help us get guests and stuff, he didn't look where he was going and almost took out the ACL of Brandon Marshall, who wanted to kill him. Mm-hmm. And I, lucky enough, knew Brandon's marketing girl and, like, tried to calm him down, and he was hot.
That would have made Radio Row fun.
So
having
much
a
better.
Murder occur in front of you would have been fun.
Even if he didn't die. Just something like, you know, like a punch to the
wounding.
Face.
Yeah, a wounding.
Was it Isaac Bruce that was going to kill him?
No. It was former Bengals.
Or wasn't it Santonio Holmes?
It was Santonio Holmes.
Holmes. That's who it was.
Who not said former something Bengals, about, like, former... bro, if you touch me one more time.
Yeah, because Will had his ass in his face. He was bent over writing on a table, and Santonio Holmes turns around and goes, bro, if you don't get your ass out of my face, and Will Pelagic turned whiter than he already was. It was the best. Oh, it was so funny. Hilarious. And by the way, text line, they agree. I don't miss Radio Row. Radio Row is trash. Plus, having to hear others in the background is trash. Radio Row is horrible to listen to. Much rather hear the day-to-day banter than interviews and a bunch of irrelevant guys pushing random merchandise. Radio Row is hard to understand. It's hard to understand you because of the loud screaming in the background from everybody else around you.
Remember? And we had him on, too. But
Stephen
remember,
A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith was probably, what, 40 yards from us?
Oh, he was a long ways. Yeah. Nick could have got there in about 23
and
seconds.
All day, all we heard, I mean, come on. And we're like, God. And we asked him about it. And he was so arrogant about the fact that, I mean, everybody wants to hear from Stephen A.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm good.
And then he messes up the read.
I love the Houston Rockets because the fact that they can throw the ball on the wing to Mario Elie tonight to beat the Blazers, I love
them. Jason Holcomb said, Joel Berry, I wonder if y'all were on Radio Row and they weren't, would you still be singing the same tune? Well, no, I wouldn't be dogging Radio Row from Radio Row. But the week before or the week after, I would probably be like, yeah, I don't think it's good radio. It was fun the first time. Like I said, I'm not missing it. That's all I said, Jason. All I said is I don't miss it.
I think not just this radio station, like all radio stations all across the country could do better about what they, you know, programming wise on Radio Row, because it isn't the best experience for the listener at all times. I think the experience is really for us, to be honest with you. We enjoy the experience way more than the listener because the football players and the athletes and the celebrities are 2 feet away from us. So it's different that we can meet them, and it's cool for us. But I think for listeners, it's cool. But I think we need to tweak up the programming because of the ambiance, just because of the background noise. There's a way to utilize all that and still
there
make
is.
It.
And I think part of it is you get some celebrities that are good and some that aren't. But you take everyone that they give
you. Yeah, that's the problem. I think if you could weed out and just take the A-listers or say, you know, because everybody's always so afraid to say no because the handler bringing that person is also probably bringing a couple of others that might be really, really good. But, like, if you could get Kevin Costner or you could get, you know, the top line type people the entire time, it would be fantastic. Because I remember in the past driving around town during lunch or whatever and going, oh, they're going to get, you know, so-and-so, Matt Damon, next segment, I'll listen to that. But if you're going to get, I don't know, Jonathan Joseph, I'll be like, I'll pass.
Yeah.
I'm good.
And it was a lot of that.
A lot of people passed on Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Took a second.
Sunk in.
Yeah. Getting guys like Santonio Holmes. No one in the Houston market wants to hear from Santonio Holmes.
The other one was
Steelers fan Juan, and he moved.
Troy Brown, because he was a Super Bowl MVP, and he was the most arrogant Patriots fan guy.
Oh, my God, he was such a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Trust me, if we were there, no, I'm not going to dog rate. That would be stupid. That's like going to a sponsor that you don't like their food, and then you're like, man, this place sucks. No one's doing that. I mean, we're not idiots.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I would enjoy the time being there or that I wouldn't talk about it when we got back. I think you know that by now. We're not scared to say what we think.
Yeah, and I enjoyed
it. Joel liked it. I didn't. I'm glad we're not there.
But
that's
I
all.
Didn't enjoy always having to get the sponsor mentioned in.
Yeah, that sucks too.
And the other part of it was, if we're gonna get your sponsor mentioned in, then why don't you be very open to doing a promo for us?
Yeah.
On the way out, you're listening to. Oh, I can't do that. What? What do you mean you can't do that? We just gave you a free mention.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the first segment. We're just getting started. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call that number, text that number if you want to call in from Miami, from Radio Row for Real Radio. We'd love to talk to you. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'm sorry, Ms. Jackson. Ooh, I am for real.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel from the Palacious
from Row Radio
Studios. Oh. Yeah. Nick, hour number one, by the way.
Yeah. Let's talk about your list.
Let's talk about it.
Uh-oh. Barry, what would you like to say about it?
All the bragging that you did. All the, oh, man, this is so much better than yours. Bro, your NIST. Your list. NIST. This old generic-ass Equate version.
Equate?
This old, yeah.
Dude, this is Ugly by Jason Braddock. I mean, Bubba Spark. What are you talking about?
Got him. Well played.
Bro, half of your list is generic. It is literally the Hill Country Fair of Way Back Wednesday list.
I haven't posted it. We're going to let Twitter decide.
Bubba Sparks is the generic version of Eminem. Petey Pablo is the generic version of Lil Jon.
Love me some Petey Pablo.
Ja Rule is a broke-ass Equate version of Tupac.
All these rappers were hot at the time.
Are generic versions of real rappers. Then that's your hot list? Scram, kid.
Let Twitter and text decide.
It sucks. Bubba Sparks, D12, Petey Pablo, and Ja Rule. And you're going to claim victory.
I'm going to tweet out the list.
You literally got
I
this.
I don't mind some of those.
You probably like Ja Rule.
I was okay with Ja.
Oh, you know him? You just Ja?
Well, you know, because you know, that's the way I kind of, I hobnob with celebrities. So, you know, so while I'm hobnobbing, I get to know him enough to where I can just call him Ja.
You call him Pete? Pete? I know. Pete Pablo.
No, P squared.
P squared?
Yeah.
PP?
PP. But I don't, PP's not a dirty, so I called him P squared.
I do like the Outkast song. That's a good choice.
Miss Jackson?
I'm not a big fan of Miss Jackson, the song. Because there's like offbeat and that drives me insane. The snare drum is offbeat.
You did mention that too.
I can't handle it. The OCD musician in me can't handle the offbeat.
I do remember you mentioning
drum.
That. I just totally forgot about it.
You
still
did
like
it on purpose.
No, I totally forgot. I really like
my
song.
Mentals.
I absolutely love that song.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that your favorite Outkast song?
No, but it's
what is your favorite Outkast song?
I don't think I have a favorite Outkast song.
No. Yeah. D12, bro. Really? D12. Of all the songs between 2000 and 2002, 2009 and 2010, you picked a D12 song?
Bro, you picked Alice in Chains.
Yeah. I never even heard that song. But I just got to give something to the white people. I got to have something for the white people in Beaumont. Oh. So I went Alice in Chains.
You're making it a race thing.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Because that's what we do with Way Back Wednesday lists.
Yeah.
We make it a race thing.
Well, sometimes.
That's on you.
Done now?
Not really, but...
I mean, okay. We could do the whole segment. I can just roast his list for another 3 minutes.
Just wait till I tweet out the list.
Yeah,
we'll let them decide.
Okay.
You do realize he has the ability to put, like, Perry Como on for you. He can just change out songs.
No, because I have my email that I sent to him.
But the listeners don't, and when Nick puts out the list, they don't know what's right and wrong.
Ah, it's a garbage list for a garbage show. a little inside joke.
Yeah, this dude. I mean, he's God. All right. So lots of stuff to uncover here today. I don't know. Did y'all watch any TV last night? You were working.
Yeah, I didn't get home till late, so I didn't get to see much.
So the Clipper game last night, the Laker Clipper game was postponed. And I was really bummed out because, and so was Lisa. She was flipping channels and she goes, oh, no game tonight. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, wow. And we caught the final 5 minutes of TNT did an extended 1 hour from center court at the Staples Center live with Shaq, Reggie Miller, Dwayne Wade, Kenny, Charles, and Ernie. And they had Jerry West on. And I was like, damn, I'm bummed. So we started scanning the internet, trying to find it. Finally on YouTube, they didn't have the whole show, but they had just the different segments. I could not stop watching. I know it's shocking to you because it's basketball related in some way, but I could not stop watching it. The raw honesty that came from particularly Shaq and Jerry West was just unbelievable.
I heard that Shaq promised to make big changes in his life.
He did. And
is this going back to his beef with Kobe?
I think there's some guilt involved. He didn't necessarily come out and say that part of it, right?
I totally get that.
But you could tell that there was, but he mentioned the fact that, look, his sister died, his dad died, now Kobe died. And he's like, I've just got to be honest with you guys. I haven't been sleeping. He's like, I should be more open and talking to you guys because you mean the world to me, but I've just had so much going on in my life. And he referenced three or four times, he's not sleeping and he's not okay when he's not on the air.
How about, and this is going to sound kind of like a jerk thing to say.
I'm not shocked. Hey. Continue, please.
You know, why don't you be more like Shaq? Yeah. Be nicer.
I'm going to start calling you Barry G.
How about starting with Barkley? Like, if you how about stop being so sensitive with Barkley? And
he addressed it
because he's let's face it, Shaq is a dick to Barkley on air.
He addressed it,
and it's different. Like, the three of us love to joke around with each other, but we know at this point in this show we have each other's back. It's all jokes. Yep. There's no meanness. And I don't get that sense between when it's Barkley to Shaq, it's always comes across as fun. But the other way around, he really gets mad.
Bro, he cried on the air.
Okay.
He addressed it. He addressed all of it. And he said, but he tried to make it out. But he tried to make it out as if people thought didn't get the bit. Right?
Yeah, there's a difference.
He said, look, at a certain point, I understand Charles is my big brother. And so that's the way we're going to bicker back and forth. Just like Kobe was my little brother and we were going to go back and forth. But he started to cry. And he basically said, look, I'm going to do a better job, too, of telling you guys, I love you guys. I love you guys. And he said, the way he got to the Kobe thing was, he said, I just can't believe he's not going to be there for his Hall of Fame induction. And I'm not going to be able to say, he got five rings, I got four, bust each other's chops, do all these things one more time. But the more he kept talking about it, the more you kind of felt like he wanted to say, I probably should apologize for Kobe how my ass tastes.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the back and forth. But then after the show, they had, and I don't want to lose sight of Jerry West. We'll get to it. But they had Rick Fox on to talk about how he was mentioned as being someone that was on the helicopter.
Right.
And how he had to deal with it with his family, how they dealt with it because Kenny went to Carolina with him.
Shame on news
medias. Yep. And all that. And then Derek Fisher, who was Kobe's basically best friend, talking about it. And then they kind of addressed how the Lakers were back at that time when they were at each other's throats. And again, he said, there were things we could have handled differently. There's things that only we know. That I could have done. And you could tell this was a whole kind of, and
it's
for lack of a better term,
thing.
It was like a real come to Jesus moment because of how monumental it has been to Shaq since Kobe passed.
Well, let's be real. It's one thing to have those feuds and to have those, you bicker back and forth. I mean, at the end of the day, though, when something like this happens, it's so powerful and it's so devastating. That, man, I mean, I think of it like this. When you have a loved one that passes, you think about all the things you did wrong. You never think about the good things. You always think about the things you could have done better or that you should have said or that you shouldn't have said. That's just human nature, and I get it. But I'm glad and I admire Shaq for at least coming out and owning it and saying, look, this is where I messed up, and this is where I need to be a better person. Because a lot of us would never do that. A lot of us would never get on TV and just bare our soul to the entire world and admit, I messed up. I should have been better to him when I had a chance.
No doubt.
That's a difficult thing to do.
Very, very difficult. And the fact that for whatever reason, you know, that maybe this gives him some new perspective going forward and he does do more of those things, that's great. But I think the other thing that has to be addressed is if he isn't sleeping and he's really having some real, it sounds like some major issues with depression and other things. He needs to get some help.
Yeah, that too.
Because you think, oh, it's Shaq. He's invincible. And, you know, nothing like that's going to get to him. But obviously there's a lot getting to him right now. And that's going to bubble over and be a bigger and bigger issue if he doesn't address it.
It really can. It really can. No one is immune to stuff
and
like that.
So, and the other,
especially, man, when somebody passes and if you were close to them, I mean, another good example is like Kanye West. When his mom passed, it had a profound effect on him, and you could see it changed him. And he's, you know, rapper from Chicago and all this and that. And, you know, nobody is immune to that.
Let me be as real as I can with y'all. When my dad died, I can tell you right now that we had a conversation that night after a Rockets game. I had bought him his DirecTV and everything like that, so he was able to watch the games. We talked about the game. You know, we had been kind of we had our moments. We used to go at each other, and there was a lot of times where we weren't getting along great. But we talked about the game. We talked about a lot of other things. We laughed. I was able to tell him I loved him. He told me the same, and he passed away that night. Mm. If that conversation doesn't happen, it's a totally different ball game for me.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you there would be regret. Yeah. Absolutely. And you can't go back.
Yep.
And so he made sure that that was another point to be made. So it was, and you know what, and to Charles's credit, Charles said, I didn't know Kobe. He's like, look, he was always cordial to me and we always said hello, but he never really, we never had conversations. He wasn't one of my boys, but he also then was able to say, but it still doesn't mean it didn't hit me. He goes, I cried my eyes out. It really, when I was reading this, that it happened.
It's so crazy how much of a transcendent figure Kobe was.
So much more than sports.
Yep. It just, and you didn't even realize it until this tragedy.
Yeah.
And now you're like, wow, that dude really had a profound impact on a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And I really think, again, how it happened and who it happened with tends to, you know, make that feeling a little more real, because his daughter was on board, because he's leaving behind children and his wife. And it's just, you know, it's one thing when you see a celebrity die.
Yes.
But it's another when it becomes more real to you if you have a daughter.
Absolutely.
And you love them to death and you know the love of that. And I saw, I didn't get to watch it, but there was a tweet, and I wish, I'd love to get the audio and hear it, and I probably should go back. But somebody was talking about the fact that how difficult it must have been to be on that helicopter with your daughter in those last few moments,
well, you
those
and I
last
were talking
few
about
seconds.
Yesterday.
Well, somebody else did it online, and apparently it was like chilling how they talked about it, because I don't have a kid, so I don't know, yeah. But I can imagine. But that's the real part of it to me is, like, I mean, it didn't make me sad. I mean, I feel bad and it made me sad, but it didn't affect me like it has a lot of people. But the aspect of having his kid with him, mm-hmm. that really got me. That the humanity of that is really, really sad.
So. Yeah. So we'll continue to roll on. You know, I got a couple more thoughts, but that show last night was just unbelievable. And then after the Celtics Heat game, the post game was again even more.
And I heard Jerry West was
just incredible.
Yeah.
So plenty on that. Plenty about other things. Obviously, Rockets back on the court tonight. Texans made some moves yesterday. We talked about. But if you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one of a Way Back Wednesday on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick, hour number one, as we get into songs,
the winning
from
hour,
years,
the best hour,
the best which hour is coming goes up first. In either hour number two or hour number three. Songs from years that Kobe and the Lakers won a title.
Yes, 2002.
Yeah, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2009, 2010.
Lone Star Jimmy is the one that suggested today's theme.
Thank you.
So Jimmy. Props to Lone Star Jimmy.
Lone Star Jimmy.
Bat in Beaumont said, hey, Barry, there are black people in Beaumont. They're called visitors. AR Platinum is sending pizza our way, boys.
All right.
Is he really?
Look at that. Just out of nowhere.
Appreciate
it. He's been cooking up a storm. I follow him on, I don't know if it's Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, but he's been cooking up a storm, and I'm looking at his story, you know, watching him cook. I'm like, damn, AR Platinum can cook.
But that's not what his videos are about.
Just wife him. Huh? No, his videos. No, they're definitely. Yeah, I'm leaving you, Joel. AR Platinum can cook. Yeah, no, his YouTube channel is about scratch offs and playing the lottery. And dude always wins. He's literally got a formula. It's insane, dude. It's just so crazy. If you Google AR Platinum, or not Google, but get on YouTube. Search
or you can Google it. It'll pop up. If you
yeah,
Google
but
it.
Search YouTube for AR Platinum and watch his video. 50,000 plus subscribers. he does scratch-offs, but he also talks about how to pick winning scratch-offs. Because there's a whole, like, science to it, and he knows it. It's crazy.
Got a vote from Chris Davis. Best list.
Chris Davis can go to hell.
Put Chris, that Chris in your Davis. Wisconsin pipe and smoke it, Joel.
Yeah, worst actor I've ever seen in my life.
Chris Davis is a freaking... He's drinking worst so much actor. Red Kool-Aid that he can't see straight. He obviously saw your list and thought it was something special.
He was probably trying to act like he liked it, but he's so bad at acting.
No, he rarely votes for my list.
Oh, really?
So this, I feel like this is a genuine vote. This is not a bot. Well,
that's
this
how you
is
see
real,
it. Barry and I see it as someone completely delusional that can't see straight that's trying to do something to try and be a part of the show.
I'm telling you. There's a lot of love and hate for Party in the USA, which was on my list. El Jefe said I win hands down. Dr. Dre on 290, not so much.
Yeah, how the hell do you... Oh, my God.
God, that is my...
How do you put any Miley Cyrus song down there?
I mean, if you want to fight on air, I will fight you. If
You're
you
a big
say,
wrecking ball guy?
No, just Party in the USA, really. That's it.
Isn't that kind of like your theme song when you won Rock the Mic? Was that you came in like a wrecking ball and you just killed everybody? No?
No, not
Actually,
at all.
Actually, for your comedy, when you said you need a walk-up song, how about that?
Wrecking Ball?
Yeah.
No.
If you like her that much.
That's a terrible...
She's a nut job.
It doesn't matter. I like that song. I don't like Miley Cyrus. She's not Taylor Swift to me.
But you like more than one of her songs. Yeah, geez, Nick, with the Taylor Swift stuff.
What? No, I love Taylor Swift. If you say any disparaging words about her album 1989...
What are you, a Swiftie, or what do they call her?
No, I'm not a Swiffer.
Yeah,
a whatever
Swiffer,
it is.
What do they
I don't
call?
Know what it's
Nick, you are, too. You're a no. Swiffer or a Swiftie.
I'm a Swiftie.
You're a Swiftie. And yeah. You think her butt's hot.
I do not.
Oh, my gosh.
I just said she was pretty, and then you guys turned it around.
Yeah,
well,
Taylor
we
Swift's
turned
not
her
pretty.
Around and realized she's missing a rear end.
She's talented, not pretty.
Face-wise, she's pretty. She's a pretty gal. You can't say she's not pretty.
You just turn the... I mean... You just use the term gal?
Okay, girl.
And who's old?
Okay. I mean, I'm getting older.
Based off of your list today, you probably do like her because her face is very generic. So I get it.
Okay, I can agree that her ass isn't there. We argue about this every single time, but is she not a pretty girl?
It's getting ugly.
I would say no. Taylor Swift is not pretty.
Wow, we got pizza.
Yeah.
But AR Platinum. In the building.
Literally AR Platinum's text, there's pizza coming, pizza shows up.
Bubba Sparks, it's getting ugly.
That's on his list.
I know it is, and he's talking about Taylor Swift.
I'm not saying she's
you
ugly.
You guys are Katy Perry fans, too. How did that not make it?
I don't know. I don't know if there was one in
Roar.
There.
Just... You guys have talked in the past about how much you like
I've always been intrigued because for the longest time, she's always been intrigued by the fact that she had the most Twitter followers in the world.
Katy Perry?
For like the longest time.
That
I don't know
weird.
If it's still the case, but I think she has the most Twitter followers in the world.
That is weird.
I don't know why I'm so intrigued by that.
I don't know. Just no.
Taylor or Katy Perry? Who's prettier? Prettier, not hotter. who has the bigger butt? Just who's prettier?
Katy Perry.
I think Katy Perry as well.
See, I disagree.
Way prettier. Way. Like, Taylor Swift. You know, there's that saying, oh, you wouldn't kick her out of bed. Yeah, no, I would. I totally would.
You are lying.
She's kind
though,
of a flagpole, isn't she? She's just.
I just don't
straight
think her
down.
Face is
You're
pretty.
You're not kicking Taylor Swift out of bed.
Of the three between Miley Cyrus, Katy Perry, and Taylor Swift, most talented musician is Taylor Swift by far. Best album start to finish, 1989, by far. Best single song, Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus. Hottest, most bangable, Katy Perry. And so we have it. There it is. There's your...
I don't know about the albums because I've never gone through any of them.
Well...
I'm not a Miley Cyrus fan, but I will agree with you on the Katy Perry versus Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Good. Nick just likes that new commercial when she does the whipped cream.
Who?
She has a commercial with whipped cream?
Yeah.
She just...
Taylor
eats
Swift
it right
does.
Out of the
yeah,
can.
Just right out of the old Ready Whip. Right
How down, do you not like that?
Right down the gullet.
Yep.
Bro, if Rosie O'Donnell was eating whipped cream out of the can, you think I'd be like, ooh, look at that.
That's Although Rosie
Taylor's
O'Donnell. You can't be...
You don't, gotta like that.
It's not comparable, Joel.
That's not...
Okay.
No. Owning a cat doesn't make you hot.
I just think... You guys
I mean, it makes me hot.
Yeah.
It makes me hot.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so we're rolling through hour number one of the show. I did want to at some
Jerry
point,
West. We got to talk about that.
Yeah,
we didn't
to
get
Jerry
to it
West,
this segment
as part of that whole deal. But if you missed it, boy, it's worth your time. If you Google it and on YouTube, it's called "Remembering Kobe" was the show, and it was really some good honest, raw emotions. And you know what? It was therapeutic to a lot of people, I think, because I was texting with Charles this morning and I just said, y'all should get so much credit for last night, because with so many people struggling for how they're going to deal with all of this and how they, you know, it's hit them with Kobe, this was at least not more footage and highlights and wondering about what happened to the helicopter. This was just raw emotion of this is where I was, what happened, and now what I'm dealing with. And I think it helped people. So, all
that's
right.
Good.
First hour of the show, total of 3 hours on a Way Back Wednesday. So as we roll out hour number one, we appreciate it if you guys participate and be suspects. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Shout out AR Platinum.
Yeah.
Man of his word.
Coming through in the clutch.
Unexpected. Much appreciated.
Very much appreciated.
Part of our tight circle that we appreciate here on The Usual Suspects. Not a garbage person at all.
Don't even mention that cat.
I didn't mention
him. He ain't listening
to
me.
If I got involved, man.
Oh, if you got involved, it would be.
Well, I expect more out of you. I haven't seen enough.
He don't follow me, so I don't see his replies.
Okay? Well, you're lucky.
Again, if you don't follow me and you tweet at me, I'm not going to see it.
Hey, I choose... sent pizza over here. Fantastic.
Oh.
Very, very nice.
That's quality stuff.
Nick already had his own pizza.
Nick, he sent over a Meat Lovers for you.
Can you talk, Nick, or are you just going to continue to chew?
Do you have meat in your mouth right now?
I'm finishing the heat. He could not have picked a worse day to bring pizza, because I just had Mod Pizza, and I ate an entire pizza to myself.
Well, let me explain something to you. I just ate a bowl from Chipotle, and that is not stopping me from eating pizza.
Not shocking.
I'm just saying, get on my fat level.
I mean, I'm there. I went with the double dough this time instead of the single dough.
A double dough?
That's what they call it.
Dough pizza?
What the hell is double dough?
It's the thick crust version. They call it double dough.
Why can't they just call it thick crust like a normal person?
I don't know. They're not a normal pizza spot. They're a bougie, nicer, sophisticated pizza spot.
Double dough.
No idea.
Me either.
So wrapping up that conversation about the TNT, remembering Kobe last night, Jerry West comes on, and you already know. First of all, Jerry West is a tough get as an interview. And he says early in the interview, look, I don't like to ramble on. I don't talk a whole lot. And then he just raw emotions and feelings just unloads. And some of the highlights of him basically saying, look, when we drafted Kobe, he goes, and I was vilified. One, because I traded Eddie Jones, who was an all-star, because I knew Kobe had to start. Two, because it wasn't real hip and cool as a general manager to draft a 17-year-old kid in the first round or trade for him and make him a part of your team. And he goes, and at the same time, I'm trying to recruit Shaquille O'Neal, and I got to convince him he's better than anybody on your team. And his team in Orlando wasn't bad. But then he continues to say, look, my son was his first best friend in L.A. because he drove him everywhere. He sat at my dinner table every night and had dinner with us and tried to get me to go to the gym with him and do all these things. But the thing that was so real emotional was at the end, he talks about when he had become a consultant or whatever he was for the Memphis Grizzlies. And he goes, look, what people don't know is, one, when Kobe was pissed at the Lakers and he wanted to sign with the Clippers, I had two separate conversations with him. And I said, under no circumstances can you do that. And everybody's just thought, well, it's because it's the Lakers versus the Clippers. And he followed it with, because you can't play for that owner. And that was one where people kind of pressed pause and went, wow. Mm-hmm. And then he said, and the conversations that Kobe and I have had, and we had them. And believe me, we had them when I was in Memphis and he was with the Lakers. And we had more than you will ever know. And no one else will know. But we had so many conversations about so many things that no one else will know that I know. And that's what makes him like a son to me. And you're just like, whoa.
Wow.
And then he was losing it. He was crying. And he finished with, guys, I don't know that I will ever get over this. And you're like, man, that is some deep stuff.
That's
right
very
there.
Deep. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a really good show. It's worth your time. But again,
are they going to run it again?
I don't know, because we were looking on the guide trying to say, well, they got to run it a second time, and it didn't show up anywhere. So the only way we were able to piece it together was to find – they separated on YouTube via each guy's personal responses to dealing with the Kobe situation. And then we did catch live the halftime where they had Candace Parker and Steve Nash on, and then post-game where they had Rick Fox and Derek Fisher on. But the interesting – like at halftime, they had Steve Nash on. And he goes, you know, it was weird because there was, he goes, I believe we hated each other for a while. And I believe because of the competition of playing against each other, later we would play on the same team. But he goes, I respected so much about how he did what he did and what he went about. He goes, we beat them in the playoffs. And that summer we're at a Nike appearance. And he comes up to me and he said something to the effect of, what goes through your mind when you're trying to get your teammates involved and make a pass? And he goes, I stopped. And I thought, well, I'm going to answer this. And then I paused again going, is this like mind games? Is he reconning me or is he trying to send a subliminal message? And he goes, and that's Kobe Bryant. He goes, I mean, damn it, I walked away from that. And I was like, did I answer that right? I mean, is he going to use it against me? But that's the way, because they knew how in-depth he thought about everything with the game. Reggie Miller talked about the fact that when he was like his big brother, and that was at a time when Reggie and Jordan were at each other's throats and battling in the playoffs every year. And he's like, the whole time, all he wanted to know was, what was going through your mind when you did this with Jordan? And what moves do you look for when you're guarding him? And whatever, things like that. Because he was so obsessed with being Michael and being better than Michael that's what it, because Reggie felt like a big brother to him. So I was
that's
just
crazy, man.
Deeply entrenched in it. It was good. Well done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed it now. Sounds really good.
And you can catch up on some of it. So, and again, I don't know when they're going to reschedule this game, but the memorial outside is getting bigger and bigger.
They said the Staples Centers might not be big enough.
That's where I was going with this.
Crazy.
Yeah. You know where they're going to do it?
No.
Depending on the weather, the Coliseum outside.
Really?
The LA Coliseum, which seats, what, 80,000?
That's the Olympic Stadium,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Wow.
Where the Rams can't get half of it filled.
Wow.
But they said there's so many people. And when you look at the memorial and how many people on a nightly basis have just in overflow capacity out there on that square outside of Staples, as Jerry West said, one guy, one name has turned this whole city sad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's – I don't know. Lisa asked me this morning and I said, yeah, I don't know either when the funeral's going to be. But I think for a lot of people too, sooner rather than later, because you got to start that healing process.
Yeah,
and they were talking about to the guys about should they have played Tuesday night or not, and they asked each guy if you were a player at that time, would you have played? Some said yes, some said no. But Charles was like, look, it's not going to be any easier Friday. He's like, it's still fresh and it's raw and it's all still going to be there. He goes, so at least while you're on the court for those 3 hours, 3.5 hours, you're focused on something else. You've got offensive plays to memorize and defensive positions to get into to where it can be a distraction that's a healthy distraction. Mm-hmm. He goes, I would have played. So it was some real interesting dialogue, and I don't know when they're going to make that game up. But again, they're at home again on Friday night. So and it's
at least
be
they
on
had
TV.
A little bit of time.
It's going to be on TV. Yeah. Yeah. And LeBron, not only did he a post on social media yesterday, but he went to his son's high school game last night. So he got out a little bit and looks like he's starting to deal with it a little bit more too. So
several players in the NBA are changing their number.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Spencer Dinwiddie,
mm-hmm.
guard for the Nets.
Ross.
Terrence Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Dinwiddie wore number 8. Mm-hmm. And out of respect for Kobe, he's changed it to number 26.
Yes.
And several others are doing that as well, which I think is a classy move.
And then Quinn Cook of the Lakers is going to wear 28, a combination of the 2 that Gigi wore, and the 8 that Kobe wore, and he'll wear 28 for the Lakers.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, a lot of guys doing a lot of different things.
Zaire Smith is changing. Jahlil Okafor. A lot of players. Really.
There's 2 million signatures already on a petition to change the NBA logo to Kobe.
Are you serious?
Yeah. 2 million.
That's a lot of signatures.
No doubt. Yeah. They started it on the internet, and there's already over 2 million signatures.
That's like the guy that wants to move the Super Bowl to Saturday.
That was a kid.
Go sit down, kid.
Yeah, exactly. Take a load off. But you
that's
got,
weird.
Your homework and, you know, unforeseen erections. Don't think about moving the Super Bowl to Saturday.
Wow. Accidental erections, huh?
You know how that happens when you were a little kid.
Yeah.
You remember.
When I was a little kid. It still happens now. What are you talking about?
Well, there you have it.
Just random. Right now.
See, I didn't know that, and you're looking at me.
It's the pizza.
It's creepy.
It's the pizza.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
It gave me one.
Jeez.
When we get back, we need to discuss in detail that, the Super Bowl thing. Because I really want to get both of your thoughts on whether you like it being on Sunday or Saturday. But also, can we do a little pop culture talk?
Sure.
Can we talk about Pastor Troy?
Okay.
And why he's over here being homophobic? For all the wrong reasons?
Absolutely.
Please?
It's an open forum.
Okay.
Bring it to the table. We'll discuss. Hour number 2 comes up right around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.